Greetings from upstate New York. You've tuned into the Hippy Dippy Preacher Man, the Duke Meister. Man, what a joy it is to launch into this new phase of my ministry through podcasting. I hope it's a blessing to my friends around the country, around the world. At the end, help me out if you can. Mention me on Facebook, pass on the information, like, subscribe. I've heard that over the years from other podcasters, and you really can help me out a lot if what I'm sharing with you is a blessing. And we just try to get the word of God out, not in this for any kind of monetary gain, just to share the love of Christ and the knowledge of the word of God. Today's title, The Deep State. Oh my goodness, I'm on the cutting edge here. I could get in some trouble. I could get shadow banned. I could get dropped from the platforms. Years ago, very few people had even heard the term deep state. If you Google it up today, you'll find that it said, I think it's an autobiographical view, the deep state, but they say it's a far-right conspiracy theory that a small group of financial elites have secretly backstage directed the world into a one world government, or are en route to do so. That's a lot to swallow, but my introduction is what today would be called the deep state began back in 1972 when I walk into an evangelical conservative church. Jesus knocks on the door of my heart. I open it. Out in the parking lot of the church was my old 66 Pontiac Catalina. We called it the Schmalmobile. Arthur Schmalman was my alias name back in the drug culture. Nobody who lived my way wanted to be known by their real name. And on the back of the Schmalmobile were political bumper stickers. I was campaigning for my first presidential election that fall for George McGovern, a very liberal position. I was a anti-war activist fighting for the legalization of marijuana, and that's where I'm coming from. And so I walk into church, a whole new world. Pastor James Standridge took me under his wing, kind of almost like a father-son, tremendous mentor, and handed me a little book as he could see the tremendous spiritual appetite I had to gobble up the Bible, to learn the word of God, hide it in my heart that I might not sin against God. And he handed me a little book. It wasn't really a spiritual book. None Dare Call It Conspiracy. It was written by Gary Allen in 1971. It became the book in the decade of the 70s, behind the number one best-selling book of the decade of the 70s, The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, which was a biblical prophecy book showing the signs of the times and as we're creeping up to the second advent of Jesus. Well, obviously, I'm a young guy. I'm seeking with all my heart. I read both of them. And to my dismay, it still holds me in awe to this very day. I saw from the study of Scripture and The Late Great Planet Earth, I like to call it the glove of prophecy. And in Gary Allen's little book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy, The Hand of Reality. I want to focus in just for a moment on that little book. It was a huge bestseller. I've read it probably 5-6 times through the years. I've given probably 50 copies of it away because, like, my pastor handed me that book and said, if you want to know what's happening, read this book. And so that's when the glove of prophecy and the hand of reality kind of begin to capture my thinking as developing a biblical worldview. I've always thought that that which is divine from God has no fear of rational inquiry. Maybe other people call it connecting the dots. Things should fit together. God has spoken. The prophetic outline of history. History is no mystery. It was laid out by the prophets. In Gary Allen's little book, it's really a history of the international financiers. It goes back, picks up with the Rothschilds banking dynasty in Europe, how that they funded both sides of the French Revolution and pretty much nearly every other war since those days. Because power is money. Control the money, you kind of control everything. That's what Satan was all about. He tried to take over heaven, recorded in Isaiah 14. I will ascend to the throne of the Most High. You know, I won't be number two. I will be number one. I'm not going to take orders. I'm going to give orders. I shall be as God. Unsuccessfully tried to take over heaven. And Jesus said hell was created for the devil and his angels. He led an insurrection in heaven. God allowed that to test the hearts of the angels. Are they going to love God from with all their heart, their mind, their soul, their body? Or are they just going to kind of follow an enemy voice to try to join him in rebellion and gain in self-power and wealth, whatever it is. But a third of the angels followed him, recorded in Revelation chapter 12. They're cast to the earth. What's Satan going to try to do here on planet Earth? Exactly the same thing he did in heaven. He's going to try to take over. You know, we say misery loves company, and there's Satan slithering in the garden in the form of a serpent, and he gets Eve alone up to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they have a little talk. The Bible says he's more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And he's casting doubt immediately upon the word of God. Eve knew the word of God. She quoted it back to him. She got it from Adam. Oh, we may eat of all the trees of the garden, but of, you know, this tree we can't eat. And if we do, the day we eat thereof, we'll die. And then Satan subtly says, you won't die. Come on, sweetheart. Don't you want to be cool? Don't you want to know what's happening? Don't you know that in the day you eat thereof, you'll be just like God, knowing good and evil? And she took the bait, and she felt she believed the lie, and she disobeyed God. And she took of the fruit, gave also unto her husband, and they did eat. They sinned against God. God had promised you'll die that day, and physically they didn't die that day, or mentally or emotionally, but at the end of that chapter, they're kicked out of the garden. They're separated from God. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. They lived on for many years, had sons and daughters and the rest of that, and we see unfolding in the book of Genesis. But the thing is, we see right from the start the intent of Satan. For dominion in heaven, he failed. And is it here on earth? He's going to do exactly the same thing, going for dominion. If I'm going to hell, I want everybody to go to hell. And so Adam and Eve are in big trouble. But just before God kicks them out of the garden, God has a little talk with the devil. And in veiled language, he said in Genesis 3:15, which is the first prophecy in the Bible. It's a messianic prophecy. Okay, they've sinned. I'm not shocked. God is never surprised by what happens. He knew it would happen. He had a plan to fix the problem before Adam and Eve even knew there was a problem. He said, I'm going to crush your head, Satan, and here's how I'm going to do it. Through the seed of a woman without a man having a child. Yeah, Isaiah made it a little more clear. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So the promise that Jesus would come is right there immediately upon sin. And so Satan has an agenda. Politically, he wants to take over the world. Personally, he wants to blind people, keep them away from the Messiah, from the knowledge of God. And so game on. Battle on. Satan's going to try to take over the world. And I think throughout history, he's had many attempts and failed. I think he attempted through the Egyptian Empire, through the Assyrian Empire, through the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire. They weren't quite as radical. And then the Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great, the Roman Empire, they would rise and fall because it wasn't God's time. But God told us in the book of Daniel, he would allow the enemy in the last days to bring together a world government, out of which other scriptures tell us the Antichrist will arise. He'll sit in the temple in Jerusalem on the throne of the earth, as it were. He would control the world economy through the, it's called the mark of the beast, probably a computer chip in the Bible says, in the right hand or forehead. And he would control the commerce of the world. If you don't have the mark, the 666 database entry, you won't be able to buy or sell anything or get on an airplane. It's great technology. But I'll tell you, when I first read that stuff in 1972, it was kind of hard to understand. Back in those days, we were using cash. We didn't know about direct payroll deposit. We didn't know about scanners. We didn't know online giving. It was all foreign to us back in those days. But John the Revelator, 2,000 years ago, out on the island of Patmos, gave very specific details of the technology that the Antichrist would use. And of course, today it's just common knowledge to us. Most of us hardly touch cash at all. Nothing evil about the system, but it would be the system that the evil one would use, and it was recorded almost 2,000 years ago. I don't think man could have written the Bible if he wanted to, and he would not have written it if he could have. I'm introduced to the invisible government, the shadow government, today often called the deep state. There was a reason why George Washington said this, quote, "I greater fear international financiers than I do standing armies." What was he talking about? He was talking about the Rothschilds banking dynasty and how they funded all these wars, and they bring nations into indebtedness to them. And when you control the money, you ultimately control the nation. So follow the money. That's a great indicator on how to gain discernment. Through the years, I've always had this biblical worldview. I don't know if I would buy into some kind of conspiracy thing, but when I read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, which says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Take a look backstage at Wall Street. Take a look backstage at Silicon Valley. Take a look backstage of Big Pharma. Money, money, money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And so as a young guy, I'm listening to the news. I got my ear to the rail, we used to say. I'm trying to connect all of the dots, the glove of prophecy I now had, and I'm watching the hand of reality fit, everything fitting together. Satan had tried and failed throughout the years to build a world government, but he had relentless efforts through 6,000 years of recorded history. Ultimately, God said he would allow him for 3.5 years to attain his goal of a one world government. That seemed like that's a little far-fetched. And then back, probably 20-some years ago, George Bush, one, made a statement concerning some issues that were at hand. He says, quote, we don't have to worry about that now. We'll fix that. That'll all come together in the new world order. Wake up. What's that all about? He only used that once, and it was shut down pretty quickly. Because the evangelical world jumped on that immediately, because we've always believed that's what was going to happen. And people would mock us, think we're foolish, and believe it's some kind of conspiracy thing. And that New World Order is just kind of commonly accepted now, but it sure lit things up back in those days. But God said he would allow Satan in the latter times to accomplish his goal for 42 months, it says, in the book of Revelation and in the book of Daniel, for 3.5 years. And he will sit on the throne of the world as the infamous Antichrist, sitting on the throne in the temple in Jerusalem, claiming to be God, controlling the world economically through the cash society. The mark of the beast will come, and it's almost here. And it was just so hard to picture all that back in those days. But over the course of nearly 50 years for me of study, it's just it's clear to see now with the computer chips, online banking, payroll deposits. We hardly touch money, and the system is now pretty much in place for that to take place. So with my biblical worldview, I begin to pray for wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, James says, chapter 1, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. The men of Issachar were commended in 2 Chronicles, said, as the men of Issachar who, quote, understood their times and knew what to do. Jesus said it this way, be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. I think that's one of the main reasons God wrote the scriptures, so we would have the outline of history, that we would not be shocked by what we see, the encroachment of a one world government. So the deep state, what's that all about? Well, I think there's an inner circle, like the core, kind of layering it out like an onion has different layers of. And I see at the core of the new of the deep state, leading toward a new world order, would be the big, big money people, the elitist, the heads of Silicon Valley, George Soros specifically, Bill Gates specifically, some of the big, big, big money people. And I don't believe that they're just necessarily evil people that want everybody to die, but they have an agenda that is the exact outline of the agenda given in scripture about the last day scenario. And they will always do it under the cover of looking good. So I see that inner core group. And if I was going to have to label it, I'd call it the Bilderberg group. Study that out a bit. Google it up and don't get the autobiographical side of that thing. Don't let them tell you who they are. They're just out to help the world. I'm not so sure about that. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I don't lean to my own understanding. I just don't trust too many people. So you have the Bilderberg group, and then as you go out to another level, I think the next layer out might be called the Trilateralist Commission. These are the higher-ups who are carrying out, implementing the plans of the core group of international financiers. So you would have the, and this is all coming out of the book, the conspiracy book written in 1971. This isn't new stuff. And you can see their meetings and they expose their agenda. It's kind of invisible. It's backstage, but it's all findable. Is that a word? Findoutable? A new dukeism there for you. And from the Trilateralist Commission, the next layer of that onion going out, and you know, onions can be kind of stinky and they can kind of make you cry a little bit. The next layer out, the Bilderberg group, I would see the Trilateral Commission, the next level out would be the Council of Foreign Relations. And how that works is if you become somebody in America, you become a president of Harvard University or leading a network television or high up an influencer in the Western world. It's not just America. It's pretty much the Western world. You're invited to the prestigious Council of Foreign Relations. Even an evangelical preacher a few years ago, I won't call his name because he's a great guy, and I think he just went into it just to see if what we evangelicals believe about it is real. But he had written some books and was very much, if I called his name, you'd all know it, was invited into the Council of Foreign Relations. And you and I, if we became screamingly successful, we too probably would be invited in. And it's kind of like the civic organizations, the Rotary Clubs and the Kiwanis and et cetera, you know, trying to do good things for the community. That's what it's sold under. But it has a far left-leaning agenda. And as you start looking at it more closely, it's all towards globalism, moving away from nationalism, hand in glove with the United Nations, with the World Monetary Fund, the World Health Organization, which most of us never really even had in our vocabulary until COVID hit. And so it's a globalist movement, and they're not all evil people, but I think they've been sucked into an evil agenda. And on their agenda, on the surface, is, you know, stop malaria, stop overpopulation. But as you read the small print, it goes past slowing down population growth. It gets into the category of euthanasia. It gets into the direction of population control and population reduction. And when you do a little bit of study on Bill Gates, his grandfather was a eugenicist. His father was one of the co-founders of Planned Parenthood. And it's in the bloodline of that family to save the planet from people. That's the exact opposite of For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so the agenda kind of sounds good, you know, save the planet, the whole Green New Deal. And, you know, in my faith position, the creator of this planet, he cleaned it up really, really fast. And he will in that millennial kingdom that, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In that kingdom, it's going to be clean. The water's going to be clean. The air's going to be clean. Plants are going to be healthy. People will be healthy. The curse that was put on this earth in the fall of man in Genesis 3 will be lifted, and that paradise that even the New World Order people want, paradise, well, it's not going to be delivered Al Gore or AOC, New World Order. It's going to be delivered by the king. It's going to be delivered by the creator. And I am not against clean water and clean air. My hope is that in God and not in man, that will be accomplished in the end. So I'm all about anti-pollution. But when it becomes political and you got great scientists on both sides of the issue, and when you follow the money and see those that are fighting hardest for the new Green Deal to shut down the economy and kind of force us into this global condition of one world government, they're using that as a mantra. We're all for clean earth and a healthy planet for sure, but they have a political agenda to it. In my view, it ramps down the economies of the world under the auspices of clean air, clean water, which we all want, and forces us into this new global system. And we know that even if America were to do its part perfectly, it doesn't touch the filth of pollution in China and India, the greatest contributors to global pollution in our day. And so we have this invisible government working behind the scenes. Agenda 21 is something that all Christians need to go online, go to the United Nations Agenda 21, read the fine print. And it uses really cool terminology like sustainable growth. Well, that's what we all want. I want sustainable growth. I want a garden that I can manage to feed me and be able to give a lot away to people. It's sustainable. I can plant 10 acres and just let the weeds take over. Sustainable growth. And that's a great thing. But when you read the fine print, that's not what Agenda 21's about at all. It's about reducing the human population from 7.3 billion down to 500 million. Hello? I mean, that's evil. And it's interesting when you take their stated goal. They stated it. It's go to their webpage. When you superimpose what we read about in Revelation 6 through 19 is God's judgment coming upon the earth after the rapture of the church, God's judgment falls, and it's horrific. And you have about 3/4 of the world population dying during that 6-year period of time called the tribulation. The last half of it is called the Great Tribulation. Wow. It's like you superimpose that view over what it says in Revelation chapter 6 through 19. It fits, and it's here. It's the agenda. It's the people backstage, quietly working, controlling the money, paying the scientists to join our movement, to say what we want you to say, building this momentum. And so I see the deep state is being controlled, controlling now the education system in America. I was taught to love America. This last 10, 15 years, our students are taught to hate America. And hey, we have lots of problems, but we can be redeemed. We can learn from our mistakes. We see the deep state kind of in control of education. We see the deep state in control of the media for sure, who up until maybe 5 years ago kind of pretended to be neutral, pretended to have a sense of journalism. But now it's agenda-driven. It just totally freaks me out that every morning, 6 men, head of the network news organizations, get together and determine for you and I what is or what isn't the news. They control what we hear and what we don't. They set the agenda. That's why Trump totally freaks him out with his tweeting, because he has a voice in controlling the agenda as well. They don't like that. And we're now seeing the shutdown, shadow banning. It started out with the social media thing, and where you can't find the podcast that you were looking for because they've changed the algorithms on the computer. So it's, you have to really know what you're looking for and to go after it to find it. Now it's common knowledge that Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google are colluding together to present their agenda. And I try to pull politics out of this and just see the political view. Of course, the prophetic view. This is pushing an agenda, and it's a globalist agenda that has been adopted completely by the Democratic Party and many within the Republican Party. I don't consider myself a party member. I consider myself a biblicist. And our redemption doesn't come through a conservative political victory. Jesus is our Savior, not some political ideology. But while I'm here on the planet, I'd like to have freedom. I'd like to have freedom of assembly and not have to sit so far apart. I know COVID and we respect all that, but I'm tired of it. I want it to go away, and praying that it'll go away sooner rather than later. I don't like to be told what to do. I don't like to go to the grocery stores and see them about only 60% stocked. No matter who wins the election, Jesus is still king. And it's not a matter of which direction the world will go in. It's just a matter of when the world will go in that direction. I will not be a spiritual failure when I stand before God if globalism continues and nationalism dies and the new world order kind of gets set up on my watch. That doesn't make me a failure. Victory is not in a ideology. The victory is at the foot of the cross. Whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. It's upon us. The deep state, I think, has control of the Democratic Party. I would see it. And there's some good people, but the agenda, in my view, in biblical view, I think it's an evil agenda. I think it's all about control, controlling people. Rahm Emanuel said, you can't let a crisis go to waste. You got to use it to advance your agenda. I think a whole lot of this COVID thing is political. I think there's a side that wants to lock us down. I think there's a side, and I think sincere people follow that, just they want people to be well. But if the cure is worse than the disease, then, you know, that we just need wisdom. We need God's wisdom. We need God's protection. But I think one side wants this nation to really suffer to ultimately bring people into control. I see deep state control of the major media, and that's why they hate talk radio so much. It's why they hate a lot of the podcasts that are out, exposing them as who they are. I see the deep state permeated into the government and controlling of the CIA, FBI. You just see it constantly. People covering for one another, government sins, fraud. How do all these politicians get so rich, making a salary that would never allow that to happen? How does Maxine Waters live in a $7 million mansion outside of her district? How do they get away with that? How does did the Biden family come up with all these millions and millions of dollars? How did the Clintons come up so filthy rich, the Obamas? And it just seems like people go to Washington, stay there a long time, and get way too rich too fast. And that's on both sides of the aisle. And it's wrong, wrong, wrong. And yet it's just, nobody gets busted for it. No heads are rolling. And all that's just screaming evidence to me that the deep state is real. Why does Christopher Wray and the FBI sit on the laptop for 10 months and not make any mention of it at all? And then finally, the guy that turned it over to them knew they were hiding it, and he steps into the news. The New York Post posts the article, which immediately is taken down by Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Google. mainstream media won't touch it. Censorship is here. The First Amendment is a distant memory, and it's either going to go an avalanche towards complete control and dominion, new world order sooner, or it'll be later. And either way, in Jesus Christ, we win. But we need to be wise as serpents. We need to have our eyes opened. We need to have a biblical worldview. We need to understand that an election's not going to fix it. Money's not going to fix it. We're sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Has he knocked on the door of your heart? Have you, as a child, opened your heart and asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior? Have you had that conversion when old things passed away and all things became new and the lights came on? You have that spiritual quickening, made alive. The Holy Spirit baptizes you, as it were, coming into your heart, turning on the spiritual lights to understand the Bible, to love the Word of God, to long to be in church, to long to be in fellowship with other believers. Oh, has Jesus changed your heart? That's what it's all about. And the whole political thing is just the deep state. It's just the battle between God and Satan. That's all it is. And the deep state would be Satan pulling out his agenda. He's an angel of light. People that follow him think they're doing good things. But if you until you know the scriptures, you can't tell them apart. But that's where the Word of God comes in. I'm getting excited here, sitting in a room by myself, lifting up my voice like a trumpet. Man, I hope this is a blessing to you. Just dig in the Word of God. Pray for wisdom. Have your eyes on Jesus. Keep your hand on the plow. And if you like the podcast, tell your friends about it. Promote me. It's not costing you anything. Please be my advertiser. Like it. Send messages. Tell me what you like, how I can do things better, things you agree with, things you disagree with, things perhaps you want me to cover in future podcasts. And subscribe, if you will. Let the podcast gurus see my numbers going up, and they'll make it more visible, and you can help me get these thoughts to the ends of the earth. Thanks. God bless. Have a great day.